It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
I stand before you to officially launch my campaign for a second term as President of the United States. I can promise you that I will never, ever let you down. I won't. We accomplished more than any other president has in the first 2.5 years of a presidency because we did, in the middle of the great and illegal witch hunt, things that nobody have been able to accomplish, not even close. Since my inauguration, we've added 16,000 manufacturing jobs a month. Remember the statement from the previous administration? You'd need a magic wand to bring back manufacturing. Well, we'll tell Sleepy Joe that we found the magic wand. More than 120 Democrats in Congress have also signed up to support crazy Bernie Sanders' socialist government takeover of healthcare. He seems not to be doing too well lately. America will never be a socialist country, ever. We have to come up with a theme for the new campaign, right? But, you know, there's a new one that really works. And that's called Keep America Great, right? Keep America Great. We are going to keep on fighting, and we are going to keep on winning, winning, winning.
That was a montage produced by Fox this morning, and I just thought it was so good I would play it for you. That's what happened last night. The president in Orlando, Florida, announcing his run for the 2020 campaign. 125,000 people tried to get in that stadium, and it ended up, it was packed. 20,000 people only could go inside. It was an amazing event. If you have not watched the president on television or watched any of these rallies, and if you've just relied on, you know, news media to pull out little sound bites, you're missing the overall feel of it, and you're missing really the, I think, what's the genuine affect of the president, which is he can motivate people in amazing ways. And one of the secrets to his motivation is that he does tell the truth. He has insight. He points things out. He did the best job of explaining how the left has tried to undermine him, his family. He talked about how they've tried to destroy him. But then he said, it's not really about me. It's you thereafter. They're trying to undermine our way of life. They're trying to destroy this country. He laid out the left. He laid out socialism. He did an amazing job. He has incredible insight. When people say he's dumb, I mean, it's really, oh, gosh, it's just, what do you say? That's just the silliest thing. Or that he's lazy? This man works. He sleeps hardly at all. I don't know. I don't know what he sleeps. He's up early in the morning and up late at night. He's traveling constantly. And remember that he does all of this for nothing. He donates his salary. He's put his family through this hell and himself through this hell because, why? You think it's because of his ego? That's what some of the people that hate him say. I can't imagine that, really, because I'm sure it's caused financial loss for his family, for his own business, and he's not receiving any salary. I just think that's pretty amazing. How many of you would do that? How many? I know he's wealthy. He can afford to live without it, but he could be making more money and ensuring the comfort and safety of his own family. So he's not. And so last night, people waited in line. I think, I don't know what the longest was. I think 2 days, like the, you know, at least 2 days before at dawn, waiting in line. Some waited an hour and a half, some waited 3 hours, and some waited, you know, more than that. And it was really kind of fun to hear their responses. The president, of course, did an excellent job really enumerating what the left had done. I wish the news media, maybe that I think when they cover these kinds of speeches, it's probably the only time that many people actually hear the truth of the facts surrounding this collusion nonsense. I think it's refreshing. I don't know how much people heard. I don't know. Only time will tell. But it was electrifying. I truly enjoyed it. In fact, in just a few minutes, I'm going to open the phone lines and see if there's something about it that you particularly enjoyed. We could do that now as I just share a few more things with you. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. Just an observation that you made as you listened or something that you saw that you want to comment on. It's 888-589-8840. He always amazes me how he will interject some truth with some humor. And so he certainly did that in regard to Hillary Clinton's email. You may know that we're now learning in more specificity how much danger Hillary Clinton's email server that was illegal, completely outside of regulations, put the nation at risk. Maybe if I have time, we'll play Catherine Herridge's report on that shortly. But the president referred to it, and this is how he worded it.
If you want to know how the system is rigged, just compare how they came after us for 3 years with everything they have versus the free pass they gave to Hillary and her aides after they set up an illegal server, destroyed evidence, deleted and acid washed 33,000 emails, exposed classified information. But can you imagine if I got a subpoena? Think of this. If I got a subpoena for emails, if I deleted one email like a love note to Melania, it's the electric chair for Trump.
And he's right about that. That's what's so funny about him. So, excuse me, I'm getting a phone call right in the middle of the show. It's buzzing, and I have to take care of that. Okay, so... And everything he said about Mrs. Clinton and the email, the way they bleach-bitted the server, destroyed it with hammers, this is all true. Do people know this? And yet she wasn't charged with obstruction? Nothing. James Comey said, well, they were a little careless, you know, but no reasonable prosecutor would bring charges. I mean, it is bizarre, but that's the world in which we live. I mentioned earlier, as a matter of fact, let me get into this. George Rasley wrote a great article this morning. Just his thoughts about the speech last night, and I echoed so much of what he said that I'm going to use his article as a springboard a little bit. He says that Donald Trump gave a great conservative speech without once ever uttering the word conservative or talking about conservatism as an alternative to the socialism of the Democrats. Instead, the president spoke of his presidency and the themes of his reelection campaign in terms of conservative ideas, conservative values, and conservative policies as simply being American. Trump's conscious or unconscious decision to equate conservative ideas, policies, and values with Americanism, in contrast to the Democrats' radical socialism, may be his most enduring contribution to American political discourse. It is certain that the core ideas that the Democratic Party has now embraced have no precedent in American constitutional liberty, and only Donald Trump would be unafraid to call them un-American. One of the things that he said last night, he mocked and disparaged Democrats. He called them the leaders of an angry left-wing mob, declaring that the 2020 election will be a verdict on the un-American conduct of those who tried to undermine our great democracy. Undermine you. Our political opponents look down with hatred on our values and with utter disdain for the people whose lives they want to run. He reminded the audience that Democrats thought of their fellow Americans as deplorable and irredeemable. By the way, he pointed out that he thought that when Mrs. Clinton said in the same sentence that we, those of us that love this country and its founding ideas, were deplorables and irredeemable. He thought that the second word was much worse. He thought it was much worse to be called irredeemable than deplorable. And he's right. He's right about that. I mean, that really smacks of what totalitarian entities everywhere do to dehumanize their opponents. Irredeemable. I mean, I'm sorry to jump to this, but I think of, because I'm familiar with these terms, I think of the Nazis who called people who couldn't contribute, people who were disabled, people that were older, people that you fill in the blank. Useless eaters. So irredeemables. I mean, he's right about that. That was a damning thing. And she understands exactly what she is doing when she does that. And so does the left. He went on to say, they tried to take away your dignity and your destiny, but we will never let them do that, will we? They tried to erase your vote, erase your legacy, and the greatest campaign, probably the greatest election in the history of our country. I don't doubt that. I don't argue with that. I don't think that's hyperbola. We know what 8 years of Barack Obama had done. We know how he had deconstructed and stacked the courts with leftists. We see the evidence of what those judges are doing around the country now, ignoring the law, ignoring the Constitution, and in reinstating leftist policies, preventing the protections on the border, preventing any kind of changes in immigration. It's breathtaking, and that's because of Barack Obama, his 8 years. It's not just the courts, it's regulations in which the middle class and small businesses were slapped and hammered and destroyed. It's the weaponization of the intelligence agencies and the IRS to come after people who have the wrong views of things. So when you say, or when he says, that the election of Donald Trump after the 8 years of Barack Obama was probably the greatest election in the history of our country, he's not wrong about that. That is not hyperbole. He said, our radical Democratic opponents are driven by hatred, prejudice, and rage. They want to destroy you, and they want to destroy our country as we know it. Not acceptable. It's not going to happen. And then, of course, he did tout all the things that his administration has done, and there are so many, which I could get into, but I'm not going to in this moment. One of the things he said was, since he's been elected, 16,000 manufacturing jobs have been instituted every month. Every month, 16,000 new manufacturing jobs. And then he talked about the difference between Republican, at least the platform, and the Democratic platform. Republicans believe that every life is a sacred gift from God. And then he blasted Democrats for ripping babies straight from the mother's womb. And he said some Democrats, especially in Virginia, back execution after birth. America will never be a socialist country, ever. Republicans do not believe in socialism. We believe in freedom. Democrats' embrace of open borders and illegal immigration is morally reprehensible, and it's the greatest betrayal of the American middle class and, frankly, American life our country has as a whole. Nobody has seen anything like this. And then he goes on to say, this is the President Trump last night in his speech. Imagine if we had a Democrat president and Democrat Congress in 2020. They would shut down your free speech, use the power of the law to punish their opponents, which they're trying to do now anyway. They would strip Americans of their constitutional rights while flooding the country with illegal immigrants in the hopes that it would expand their political base. And then, of course, he talked about... He said, since the very first day I walked through the doors of the White House, I have never forgotten who sent me there. You did. And that was President Trump last night. Okay, so that's just an overview. There are a lot more things to say, and I will go to the phone lines on the other side of the break to find out what you heard and what you saw that you wanted to comment on. So stay with me. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. I think we have most of the lines lit up, but I think maybe there's a couple free. So keep trying, 888-589-8840. This is Sandy Rios back with, hey, you can hear me today, right? Isn't that an improvement? Anyway, thanks for your patience yesterday, by the way. I'll be right back. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Here's American Family Association president, Tim Wildman.
Len Ingram and Jim Duncan, two Texans, support and believe in our ministry here at AFA and AFR.
We know more about the laundry business than anything else. We know a little bit about a lot of things, but we know a lot about the laundry and dry cleaning business.
They created a laundry detergent to sell to folks to support AFA.
We just want to be able to provide a product that can be used by AFA to support the ministry.
When you wash your family's clothes with Redeem Clean Laundry Detergent, you can take great satisfaction in knowing that you're supporting the vital work of the American Family Association. It's a unique way to increase your giving to AFA. For clean laundry and support of a cleaner society, it's Redeem Clean. Learn more about the Redeem Clean products when you visit redeemclean.afastore.net.
This is Pause to Pray, a moment to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Kelly Craft, the United States Ambassador to Canada, and the current nominee to become our country's UN Ambassador. Proverbs 15:11 reminds us of the importance of diplomacy. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask you to guide Kelly Craft in her role as ambassador. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team. Help support the prayer team by signing up for our matching challenge, now through July 4th. Details available at pausetopray.org.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Hello, Americans. Is there such a thing as redemption? That story coming up.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Blake Bramlett. I graduated in May of 2016, and I graduated with a degree in interdisciplinary studies, focusing in psychology and missions. The professors here at TMU have really impacted my life in more than one way. In the classroom, of course, but really honestly, what makes the experience at Truett better is that they're mentors to us.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
Harvard University rescinded its acceptance letter to Kyle Kashub, a conservative student who survived the massacre in Parkland, Florida. The university cited racist and offensive postings he made in private settings among his classmates when he was 16 years old. Kyle profusely apologized in private and in public. He went on to say he was embarrassed by the petty, flippant child he was before the shootings. Something tells me this has less to do with stupid and racist language of a teenage boy and more to do with the fact he now identifies as a conservative. There's no doubt that what 16-year-old Kyle said was racist and offensive. But is it fair to judge this now 18-year-old man for who he was instead of who he is? I do wonder, though, if this would even be a national story had Kyle been a 16-year-old black hip-hop artist. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
It was an absolute amazing turnout.
It was really inspiring.
It was awesome.
We believe in him in 2016, and we're going to vote for him definitely in 2020.
I thought that he touched on a lot of things that I think that people are wanting to know about.
This man loves our country, he loves God, and he's with the American people.
It's really good to see the president take initiative to secure our border.
I've never been to any sort of political rally ever, and oh my gosh, I was like going to cry. It was awesome.
Thank you, President Trump, for all you do for our veterans.
It was a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and it's something that I'll never forget.
The kids couldn't sleep last night. They said it's way better than Disney.
It's going to be a bigger landslide in 2020 than it was in 2016.
Okay, so there you go. That was what some people said about the rally last night. Well, of course, not everyone was happy about it, but we are concentrating on that, and I'll have some other reaction in just a few minutes because I want to go to the phone lines first. But just to remind you, it was 4 years and 3 days ago that President Trump came down that escalator with Melania in Trump Tower and announced his seeking the Republican nomination for president. Isn't that something? It's only been, time goes so fast. It's only been 4 years. And so 954 days ago, he held his final rally before the election in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And then, of course, just hours after that, he won the election. Who can forget that? I mean, who could forget that night? That was amazing. All right, so I want to know what you think. What you saw last night and what you observed and just really what grabbed you. Let's go to, is it Andrea or Andrew? I'm not sure. Andrew, good morning, sir.
It's great. Were you a cheerleader in your former life? Just asking.
I actually wanted to be. I used to cheer until I couldn't breathe. I cheered in front of television all the time, but I'll make this quick. I actually went into student council. I know that'll be a shock, but I ended up doing student elections and all of that instead of cheering. So I cheered in a different way. But anyway,
Was it high school or college?
High school. Then college, different stuff. College, I was president of my sorority.
That's great.
Okay.
I went to a convention in North Carolina in 2011. And then Donald Trump was a guy is on stage, and I mean the place was packed. It was I can't remember what stadium it was, and everybody asked. They just cheered. They said, "Are you running for president?" He says, "Well, I'll have to think about it." And then when he ran for president, I mean it was incredible. I went to bed at 9 o'clock, and my wife woke me up at 2 o'clock and said, President Trump won. And I thought, the country, this USA, has been saved. And I just, I don't know, you got Biden and Pelosi are supposed to be Catholics. Excuse me? And then,
Okay, so Andrew, did you see it last night? Did you watch last night?
I watched a little bit of it, but my bedtime is 9 o'clock. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So you can get up and watch this. Listen to the Sandy Rios show, right?
Next month. So
all right.
I can only take so much.
Okay,
but
Andrew.
You filled in all the empty spaces there. That's good.
Okay.
Now, you keep indicating about the pastors at the pulpits, and I've got a big problem with our pastor.
Andrew, listen, can we talk about that another time? Because I've got a lot of people, and they want to talk about the rally last night, which is really what I want to focus on.
Yeah,
so let's talk again some other time. But thank you so much for calling. Let's go to Judy in Virginia. Good morning, Judy.
Hey, Sandy. Good morning.
Good morning.
It was a great speech. The energy came right through the television into my own room. And what I also liked was how multicultural the crowd was there.
Yeah. It's true, and age, too. I mean, all over the map with ages, and that struck me, too. But now, Judy, as like the fake media, I loved how he called them out last night. I wish we had that little bit of tape. It was just amazing. He said, there's a lot of fake media here tonight. What they would say is that people who were there and people like you and like me are just, we are so brainwashed. It's like Obama. It's like the wave for Obama when he was running. What we're just like them. We're just hypnotized. What would you say to that?
I would say we're more informed than Democrats. I think Republicans really look into the issues and do our homework. And I think we base our elections on facts and reasoning rather than emotions.
Yep, I'm with you. Judy, anything else before I say goodbye to you?
I just want to say President Trump has inspired me to get involved because of the reaction of the Democrats to him, and I'm now out campaigning for my local and state races here in Virginia, and I encourage everyone else to do that.
You know what, Judy, you guys have your hands full. You know, the Supreme Court just ruled against Virginia and that redistricting that the Republicans had done, and as people might not know, Republicans only hold the Senate by one vote. In Virginia, and of course, there's a Democratic governor, the one who thinks it's fine to kill babies after they're born. Virginia used to be a very, very red state, and the left has managed to do some real damage there, and so you've got your hands full. And so you're right, though. If people would just, people listening, ordinary people would get involved in their communities, in their counties, in their state, and stand up and start fighting back, We could stem the tide of this. We shouldn't let Donald Trump do this all by himself. And so God bless you, Judy, for taking your responsibility as a citizen really seriously. All right, let's go to Karen in Texas. Good morning, Karen.
Hey, Sandy.
Good morning. What's on your mind? What did you
Good
see?
Morning. Hey, I just want to tell you that I drive an hour to work every day, and it's an hour of Sandy. So I get informed every morning when I drive to work, and it's been great because I'm more informed now than I ever was before. But I just want to say my favorite thing about last night was the roar of the crowd. I couldn't believe it. That was America. And if people can't see that, they just refuse to see. But I don't know where these polls are coming from because they're not talking to the right people. What you saw last night was America speaking. And they love what he's done. They're looking forward to what he's going to continue to do. I loved how he introduced Sarah Huckabee Sanders. What a wonderful woman. And she is brave and smart. And again, the crowd, you know, they just showed how American people love her. And he was on point. I think if he stays with what he's saying and he just sticks to what he's done and what he's going to keep doing, I think, you know, this election is going to be even more energized and exciting than the last one. So.
Yeah, very good point. Very good point, Karen. Thanks a lot. And thanks for the compliment about listening. Just don't drive off the road. On those days when I talk about really upsetting things, just keep your eye on the road, okay? Thanks, Karen. Thank you. You know, one of the things that I noticed last night, it really struck me. People responded very strongly, you know, when he mentioned Hillary Clinton. They started to shout, lock her up, you know. Well, she is a criminal. She is has so much on her hands. Things I could recite and rattle off to you. It's just amazing. And yet she continues to get a pass. So it's not really out of the realm of importance that she be held accountable for her crimes. And so when they say lock her up, but also they have these strong reactions. They have these strong feelings about the issues that he raised. But what you didn't see, you didn't see anger. You didn't see bitterness. You didn't see just harsh sarcasm. I'm not sure what else to call it. It was just good humor. It was really good humor. And that's the one thing that strikes me about the American people, at least the heart of America. They can have very strong opinions and fight, but still love their families and have joy and not present themselves in such a negative way as the left does, who seem so filled with hate and resentment. Think of the Women's March and the women on that stage. Every speech was victim. It's terrible. Just horrible things that they get people to respond to. It's hatred as opposed to love of country. It was a very stark contrast in my mind last night. Let's go to Carol, also in Texas. Good morning, Carol. What did you think?
Oh, let me tell you, I have a handful of people that I listen to. You are number one on my list.
Thank you.
Because you tell it like it is and you inform us. I thought his speech was brilliant.
Why did you think that, Carol? Could you explain? Like, if you were talking to someone who hates him, how would you explain that? If I said to you, look, he lies all the time. He brags on himself. He's had all of these affairs. How can you, Carol, how can you feel that way? What do you mean brilliant?
He knows how to work the stage. He knows how to appeal to us, the constituents. He knows how to deal with the negative. And I keep telling my husband, who listens to you also, how much he could have even done more had he had any help. He is his best messenger. He gets his message out. He includes the people that he's working and defending. And I just think he is brilliant at what he does. I was very upset at first about his meeting with Stephanopoulos. And then I told my husband last night, I said, you know what? He knows how to get people to listen to him by, you know, having an interview with a left of the leftists.
Well, that's true. People, that's true. And I didn't get to see the entire interview Sunday night, but I was guessing that in the expanded interview, he probably comported himself very well. They picked out the parts, of course, to leak out about the polls because they wanted him to look bad. But, you know, he the truth. Honestly, he's the opposite of what they say. He's a very honest man. He exaggerates and he sometimes is inexact about his facts. There's no question about that. But as far as him being a consummate liar, I don't see it. I see him as being somebody who tells so much truth that they can't stand it. Carol, I need to move on, but thank you so much. I appreciate your kind words. Let's go to Florida and talk to Tion. Hi, Tion. How are you?
Yes, good morning, Sandy. Very quickly, the thing that got me about the speech yesterday, last night, I am an immigrant. I'm originally from Jamaica, proud to be an American citizen, having done it the right way. What I'm going to say is probably going to sound kind of harsh and cold, but I think President Trump has every right to enforce the laws. And I think if you're going to come in the words of previous congressman from Denver, Colorado, Tom Tancredo, he said, if you're going to come, we welcome you with open arms, but as long as you come the right way. And I know that there's going to be a lot of dust up with the president enacting this plan, how he's going to probably try and go after these 1 million illegals that have defied the standing orders to come and report on their hearings, and they did not do that. And you're going to hear from the media, oh, man, why is he separating families from their children? Oh, why is he breaking up families? You have to keep in mind, and this is where it kind of sounds hard and cold, these people did something that was not right. And I believe they understand what they did was not right. And this thing has caught up to them now, because you now have a president that's going to enforce the laws, no matter what the Democrats say about, oh, let them stay, let them stay, let them stay. Well, we've been letting them stay for probably over 20 years, and look at what it's done. It's
hey,
shut
Tion.
Down in this.
Tion, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I let me ask you a question. As a Haitian, Jamaican immigrant, and who's entered and done everything legally and is now an American citizen, and I can even tell without asking you questions that you love this country and you become an American, which is what we ask of people. Just embrace our ideals, become one of us. It seems now incongruous to me. We're supposed to understand that now all Jamaicans, for instance, in Florida would want all the rest of the Jamaicans to be able to get in here however they do it. Why don't you feel that way?
I feel this way simply because I've seen and I'm hearing from friends of mine how illegal immigrants, they come in, especially with the schools, because I used to work as a computer tech in the schools, and I have a friend of mine that works in a private school, where a lot of them that have come from the borders just recently, they come and they get into the school, and some of these kids are not as angels as you think they are. Some of them are quite unruly, they're difficult to deal with, and some of them speak a little English, and some of them don't speak English at all. And not only that, friends in public school, they have to stop. They got to take their time. And instead of focusing on the kids that really, really need help, they got to cater to these ones that don't speak the language. And they just seem to absorb the resources. They absorb the teacher's time. And it's really not fair, not to mention in healthcare. They've taken a lot of the hospitals. Maybe not so much here in the state of Florida, but I'm hearing in California, it's really, really bad. They've had to shut down certain hospitals because it's become so much to deal with. The doctors and the nurses can't continue to do things for free, you know, and they have to get paid too. But of course, as illegal immigrants, they can't pay. And so now everyone suffers.
Yeah, Tion, really well said. And of course, you're in a position to make the point with more emphasis than someone like me. We're supposed to believe that it's some sort of racial prejudice that we don't want people from the southern borders and other countries, which is just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. We're talking about love of this country, honoring its laws, honoring its borders, and we cannot take in the whole world, no matter what color they are. We have to have a wall and boundaries and restrictions for the reasons that you said. Be right back.
Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Sophie Lewis, who describes herself as a queer feminist communist, recently said abortion is a killing that should be defended societally. She's also written a book titled Feminism Against Family, where she argues that if you want to dismantle capitalism, you must abolish the nuclear family. Her regressive utopian ideal calls for a proliferation of relations, a commune, to supplant the propertarian, biogenetic, nuclear private household as our main kinship model. Wherever God is rejected, the next step is to destroy the family. Anything that reflects the Creator God must be destroyed. Objective evil exists.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
This is Pastor Jim Scudder, Jr. for In Grace Radio. We're excited to announce that we're now on American Family Radio every Sunday morning at 8:30 Central Time. You'll want to join us for In Grace because we're going to open up the Word of God, preach it, and teach it, and we're going to bring you some pretty interesting programming from the Grand Canyon to under the water in Key Largo, even the Ark in Northern Kentucky. Join us this Sunday at 8:30.
Hi, this is Jim Stanley, General Manager of American Family Radio, here to tell you that change is on the air.
Excuse me, Jim. I believe the saying would be change is in the air.
Well, that's true, too. We've got some big changes coming up, and you'll hear them on the air.
Oh, right, boss. Go ahead.
As I was saying, changes are coming, and you'll hear them on the air beginning Monday, June 24th, here on American Family Radio.
So, do they affect me? I mean, are we cool here? I mean, we're cool, right?
Ryan Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. The language of the Fifth Amendment is unambiguous, nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb. Any means any. You can pick any person in America at random, and that individual cannot be tried twice for the same crime, no matter who is doing the prosecuting. If the state tries you and acquits you, the federal government does not get a second bite at the apple. Yesterday, the Supreme Court turned the Constitution inside out and said, no, you can be tried twice for exactly the same offense. The Constitution? Forget about it. 2,374 years ago, Demosthenes said, the law forbids the same man to be tried twice on the same issue. He was right then, and he's still right. Shame on the Supreme Court.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. As President Trump prepares for his upcoming meeting with Chinese President for Life, Xi Jinping, he will be under intense pressure to focus narrowly on trade disputes and back away from addressing myriad other serious differences between the two countries. But we simply cannot safely ignore Xi's increasingly aggressive policies designed, for example, to crush Hong Kong's autonomy, terminate Taiwan's sovereignty, control the world's strategic waterways, dominate space, and use its 5G technology to fracture our security ties with key allies. In the near future, these challenges will supersede the importance of rectifying trade imbalances, China's currency manipulation, and even its theft of U.S. intellectual property. That's especially true if the effect of a trade deal with Beijing is to buy time for the Chinese Communist Party to realize its plans for global domination. This is no time to go wobbly on China. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Listening to Trump made me feel very much that he is a man living in a parallel universe, a man way out of touch with the needs of ordinary people, and a man who must be defeated.
This president wants us to keep looking in the rearview mirror instead of looking out of the front windshield. This is a president who wants to make America great again instead of making America great today. He does not understand that we need a leader of our United States who is focused on the challenges of the 21st century.
Okay, so Bernie Sanders and Kamala Harris, candidates both for the Democratic nomination for President, Biden jumped in too, saying our country cannot afford four more years of Trump diminishing America's role on the world stage, cutting access to health care, ignoring the climate emergency that is unprecedented. By the way, could I just tell you that I just thought of this. Joe Biden, his ranking, he's like Mr. Moderate, right? Yeah, I'm just so, he's just good old Joe from Scranton, Pennsylvania. Did you know the American Conservative Union has been ranking candidates in their voting record for decades? It's kind of a gold standard, really. Biden's lifetime rating is 12.7% out of 100. That's how moderate Joe Biden is. And Bernie Sanders has 6.8% with the American Conservative Union, by the way, meaning both of them are wretched on the issues. So don't even think for a minute that Joe Biden is any kind of a moderate. And one more thing. We talked a little bit about CNN last night. I do have this clip that I want to play for you before I go back to the phone lines, because the president, of course, went after the news media, and it's always funny. It makes me laugh. But you can imagine, there they are, that whole bank of cameras, and they're having to cover this event, and they're having to sit through, you know, what they hate. So I just want you to see, first of all, hear what the president says, and then CNN just decided to sort of like quickly break away. Let's listen.
The fact is, the American dream is back. It's bigger and better and stronger than ever before. ...2016 was not merely another four-year election. This was a defining moment in American history. Ask them right there.
Chanting CNN blank. So I can't say that word, but that's what they're chanting.
By the way, that is a lot of fake news back there. That's a lot. That's a lot. You know what I say? The amount of press we have tonight reminds me of the Academy Awards before it went political and their ratings went down the tubes. This was our chance to reclaim our government.
All right, we've been watching the president kick off his reelection bid. He's been on stage for about 6 minutes.
I'm sorry, that's all. That's enough, but you get the point. He's hitting CNN. The crowd is chanting CNN blank, and then he's talking about their ratings going down the tube. I'm just sorry. It just makes me laugh. And so then, of course, they had to pull him down, and they came back into the studios of CNN to tell people how horrible he is. So that's the way it goes. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Sandy Rios with you. Let's go to Bill in West Virginia. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Sandy. I just want to make a comment about President Trump's speech last night.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, every time he's on, I listen to him, and every time he's on, I say, how can he beat that time? And boy, I'll tell you what, he did it again last night. It was great. And one of the things I want to say about this president, is a true human being. He cares about people. And the example of that last night was when he brought Sarah Huckabee Sanders back up on stage again. I mean, that man is devoted to people that are devoted to him. So God bless him. And
yeah, thank you, Bill. I agree with you. I think he's devoted to good people. I wouldn't necessarily add that they're devoted to him. I would say, you know, he's got a history of helping people that are in need, of a humanitarian, just helping, writing checks, giving people gifts. It's not widely known, but he has a history of doing that as a wealthy person there. I can't even tell you the stories in this moment, but he is a very compassionate person, and you can just see that. I agree with you, Bill. In spite of what the left says about him, these things we can see for ourselves. Let's go to Stacy in Texas. Good morning, Stacy.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I'll just briefly say that I agree with many of the people who have commented, and your comments especially. Great speech. I think he was concise. He hit all the big bullet points. I would just love to hear him add to his speech next rally any Democrat that wants to open their home to an illegal family is welcome to do so and sponsor them and all the costs for the rest of their lives, and see how many people are going to come forward to put their, you know, because it's not going to happen, and say it facetiously, obviously. But it's obviously a ploy, and I think he's hit the immigration issue, and that is part of the reason he got elected, and I think it'll carry him through 2020. I think he needs to keep that message strong. People are with him on the immigration issue.
Yeah, totally. Well said, Stacey. I agree with you. As a matter of fact, I saw an article yesterday about a mayor, a couple of Democratic mayors in Texas who are leftists. One is known for wearing high heels. They're not exactly conservatives. And they are beginning to complain about how their communities cannot keep up with the needs of illegal immigrants. And so, yeah, I think it's a huge issue, and people who live in reality understand that. It was interesting to hear Bernie Sanders say that he thinks Donald Trump lives in an alternate universe. I think most of us would say, well, yes, sir, and we're thinking maybe you do too. The universe that you are living in, sir, is the socialist, communist, your love city where you spent your honeymoon, Moscow. That's where you're living, Bernie. That's what you want this country to be like. And that is an alternate universe. Stacey, thank you very much. And Stacey's point, which I have made, it's been a long time since I made that point. I'm glad she brought that back up. It's really and truly, when people start waxing eloquently about the no need for borders and the sympathy that they have for illegal immigrants and how could we, the line is that we're separating families, which is ridiculous. It's the law that children cannot get into jail facilities with their parents. And so it's just the part of our law. It's a terrible, chaotic situation. And I think the left just wants us to, you know, feed everybody, let everyone in, which is pretty much what we're doing. But when you ask them if they would, in fact, it's a really legitimate question. I've done it myself. And I would encourage you, as Stacey has reminded us, to say to people, all right, so how many illegal immigrants have you guys taken? Because I think there's a couple of families, or I know that people need a place. Could you take them in and, you know, you'll have to provide for them all of their food and medical and, you know, they might have to stay with you for life, maybe college education too. And you're willing to do that, right? Because you don't believe in borders, right? So anyway, so yes, that's a good way to kind of do a litmus test on people's thinking. They're just not thinking. That's the problem. Let's go to Barb in Ohio. Good morning, Barb. What did you think?
Oh, my gosh. I was glued to the TV. It was just incredible. I, as far as the speech that he returned again to the trafficking and killing of innocent babies, and that he was totally pro-life, and that confirmation was wonderful. But you know what really got to me is at the end, after the whole rally, and Hannity was following it, they had evidently sent a young 26-year-old male reporter to an impeachment rally in, I think, California or something. And he was
well, there was one in Florida. Yeah. There was one in Orlando just, I don't know, a mile or a couple of miles or blocks away.
Oh, I see. Well, anyway, he was terribly treated. I don't know what all happened to him, but they quickly sent for him to go to the Trump rally. And he said that he was surrounded with so much love and so much kindness, and that it was electric in there. And he said the other venue was so dark and so demonic, just so negative, hatred and negativity. I really think people, if they watched even any of last night, they will recognize the difference. It was free air.
Yes,
at
well,
the Trump rally.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And to just correct, now I know what you're talking about. That actually was Lawrence. I think his name is Lawrence, and he was with Campus Reform. He's a young black man, and he's now on Fox often. Lawrence Jones. And so, yeah, Lawrence went, he went to the rallies on Sunday, the impeachment rallies. And they made all kinds of racial comments to him, told him go back to Fox and plant cotton. They told him to go back to Africa. They got the second one on tape. So that's what you're talking about. So thanks, Barb. Thanks for bringing that to our attention. I did not know that he went to the Trump rally last night and made some comments about that. Thank you. You know, there was a counter protest. I don't know if they call it impeachment, but it was a hate Trump rally. And one thing I noticed as I saw the coverage of that, there were probably, they estimated around 1,000 people there. So many of them were gay. This was like, they did not claim that, they did not make that public claim that these were gay activists, but everyone interviewed seemed to be a gay activist. So I thought that was really interesting. All right, let's go to Sandy in Texas. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning.
Okay, so what did you think?
Well, I think it's awesome. I love President Trump, and I pray for him all the time. But I have one criticism. When he starts telling people what all he's done, I wish he'd give God the credit, because he's not the one that did it. God has empowered him to do it. And I just wish he would give God more glory.
Yeah,
that's
well,
my comment.
Yeah, okay, Sandy, thank you. I don't think there's anything wrong with that observation. I think this is, if you want to know what I think about this, certainly when President Trump became the nominee, he was filled with boasting and braggadociousness. And he, remember he was asked if he had any regrets or anything he'd done, and he said no, nothing to ask forgiveness for. Remember that? Yeah, so that was troubling, needless to say, very troubling. But my personal impression, I'm not the final arbiter of this, but just my personal impression, Sandy, is that he has changed. You'll hear him say things that acknowledge God and his role. You'll see him, just his whole attitude. He didn't even acknowledge God when he first became the candidate, as far as I could tell. I think he was responsible for everything. I sort of think there has been a change in him, but keep in mind that he does not have the, I don't know where he is spiritually. I am not making any bold claims. I would just say that he is acknowledging God in ways we never heard him do it before. And I actually think his bragging has toned down some. Sometimes what we call bragging is really an honest assessment, because much of what he says is actually true. I think that sometimes American Christians, the Western Christian, has taken on a false modesty that I think sometimes is not accurate. I think, remember that Paul says in Scripture that we should have an accurate view of ourselves, not an overblown view and not an underblown view. We should have an accurate view. So I don't have a problem when he lays out his accomplishments. I think he's come a long way. He is not, doesn't have all the tradition that we have. If he is indeed a believer in Jesus, a serious one, he's not steeped in all the ways of thinking. You know, it takes a long time to take on the mind of Christ. And so that's what I think's happening, Sandy. He's just not at that point yet. Maybe tomorrow I'll get into this, but the Orlando Sentinel endorsement for the president was quite a piece of paper. They said they would not, after 2.5 years, we've seen enough. They talked to him, he's ignorant, he's lazy, reckless. That's what they said about him, among other things. If I have a chance, I'll go into it tomorrow, but there you go. Thanks for your phone calls and your comments. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.